Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 312, episode 5 of The Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness.
Wow.
It's the end of season 312. Ooh. We're saying goodbye to Chicago.
Yeah.
The guest who is also saying goodbye to Chicago.
We're going from the 312 to the 313. We're going to Chicago, Detroit, and guess what, St. Louis? You're after that 314.
Oh, I didn't know. I didn't know any of this. But all it kind of fits with my theory that we're going in descending order from like the best to anything with threes and twos and ones. That's the biggest cities. That's the hottest. The hottest area codes.
Okay.
And then you start going down to your Detroits, your St. Louis. Anyways, I'm...
Pedals up.
It's Friday, November 10th.
Friday.
2023. 11:10.
Yeah. That's a lot of stuff.
9876-54321.
Hey, you know, America, we don't know anything about our own civic process, but it's National Civic Pride Day. It's also National Vanilla Cupcake Day. And what else? World Net Cancer Day. I don't know what that means, if it's net. Oh, it's for neuroendocrine tumors, NET, not to do with a net.
Ah, shout out to all the people suffering and people helping them with cancer.
Yeah, a lot. And also, shout out to Vanilla Cupcake, you know?
Yeah.
The one of the
your
most boring.
Your pet nickname for me.
Yeah, you know, Jack. Yeah. And I'm your little Nestle Crunch Bar.
I do call you that. Oh, shit. Jeez. Well, my name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. And the porn on your phone is now on my phone. Looking at it long and now I have bone. Let me see your phone, son. I can't come when I can't see what you're looking at. I'm gonna have a good hard jack. That's courtesy of First Blood 138. Disgusting. But the story's disgusting. The Speaker of the House looks monitors his son's porn intake.
They both. It's
and
it's
he
mutual,
in turn
you know?
Monitors unto his father.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Miles Gray, a.k.a. If you're having gut problems, I feel bad for you, son. I drank 99 bananas, then I puked up some. Hit me! Okay, shout out to Christy Yamaguchi, man.
Wow.
You know, took it to the text message this morning. He's like, hey, man. I don't know. He's like, I've been saying this. Did you talk about 99 bananas recently? I'm like, I've been mentioning it off and on. So thank you for that one, Christy.
What is 99 bananas? That missed
it's a
me
banana
drinking days.
Banana,
a banana
liqueur.
Based liqueur. Like a,
yeah. And it's vile.
Oh man, that sounds like shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Don't worry. You're not
missing
anything.
My experience with drinking was just the less you can involve in the alcohol, the better. The less other ingredients.
Yeah, because you I think you got sober before like the proliferation of like birthday cake flavored vodkas and shit.
Yeah, exactly.
When it fully went haywire.
That's right. Well, Miles, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by a hilarious and brilliant stand-up comedian, writer, actor, improviser. You can catch her on stages across the country, and specifically, you can catch her at the Facial Recognition Comedy Show monthly going forward at the Comedy Store, but specifically the next one, November 21st at 8 p.m. in the Belly Room. Please welcome back to the show one of our favorites, one of your favorites, Paula B. Gunawa!
I just gave myself air horns. I'm working. I'm hustling, okay? I'm doing the sound effects for me.
Doing it all. You're in Chicago.
How's it going? I'm in Chicago. Yeah.
How's the weather? Is it cold there yet?
It was really warm the first day I got here, and then it rained yesterday. So it's getting getting chilly. It's all getting cool. It's just in time for me to head out.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, doing good, I guess, you know, all things considered. But yeah, how's you know, what's good? It's been a while. I feel like every time you've been on, one of us has been gone. So it's nice that we're all together again.
Got the gang back.
Dad and dad are back together. They're finally here.
My two dads. That was probably too old for you guys, right? You guys didn't.
Jack, how old are you?
You're only 4 years older than me.
But like, that show was pretty adult stuff, guys. My two dads? Paul Reiser?
Isn't Giovanni Ribisi in that show?
That other? The guy with the beard?
I don't think
people are utilizing Paul Reiser as much as they should be now.
No. Yeah. He was great in Whiplash. Have you seen Whiplash?
Oh, yeah. That's true.
Love some
Whiplash. He's doing some stuff, but I feel like he could have a real comeback in comedy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. I'm sure.
I'm Paul Reiser gang.
Okay. Reiser gang, rise up. Yeah, rise up.
What was the best thing you ate in Chicago?
Yeah.
Oh, the Chicago diner is all vegan. I'm vegan, but I eat bad stuff. I became vegan to be healthier, and then I just found Oreos. You know, being in LA and being vegan is so not good for your health because they have all of the alternatives. But they also have that at the Chicago diner. It was really, really good. It was all vegan. They had like really great shakes. They had cinnamon buns. Ugh, so good. I love a place where I can get stuff that I normally can't get anywhere else. You know what I mean?
The Chicago diner is all vegan?
Yeah.
That rules, man.
That does not rule.
What I would expect from the Chicago diner. I would expect some various meat slurries that have formed.
Yeah. What was the junkiest of the junk food that you had there?
Well, I had the cinnamon roll, and then I also had like this like chocolate peanut butter milkshake that was delicious. Yeah. It was so good.
Ooh.
It was so good.
That sounds
good. In LA, there's like Doomies, which gives me that wonderful like soul food type.
Yeah.
Terrible cooking for vegans, like bad for you.
That's the one in Hollywood, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then here, I think I found the Chicago version.
Jack, remember when we go there and get the Al Pastor burrito that was just smothered in cheese sauce?
Yes. Yes, I do remember.
That was the first time I was like, oh yeah, you could fuck your life up with vegan food. Bad.
Yeah. I'm like probably the unhealthiest vegan I know, and I'm proud to do that.
I have a homie that might be, well, we'll talk offline. We should do Battle of the Unhealthiest Vegans.
Because it'll be like the hot dog eating contest for Jamie Loftus, but with vegan food.
All right. Well, Paula B., we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of things we're talking about. We do have to, of course, recap the GOP debate competition to be the bit like most bloodthirsty, seemed to be like kind of first front and center.
Yeah. Who could be a subhuman, bloodthirsty warhawk creature?
Yeah. Warhog. DeSantis's performance, man. I find his just lack of, like, he seems to be allergic to charisma in a way that I find like very mesmerizing.
Oh yeah. But, I didn't put this like in the story, but did you see the like his last comment where he tried to smile at the end?
No. But I saw every comment he gives, he has the deadest of eyes.
Yeah,
like,
I can't unsee Homelander, like that picture of him and Homelander trying, or those videos of them like trying to smile, but like not being able to hide their evilness.
Yeah.
I can't unsee it.
This one is pretty good because he shows his tongue for some reason because he doesn't know how to smile.
And as your president, I will not let you down. God bless you.
Governor DeSantis, thank you.
What the fuck?
Ooh, he did like a little snake thing with his tongue behind his teeth. He was like,
anyway.
That's how you smile, right?
Yeah, that's how you smile.
This is how humans.
Yeah. Yeah. Just I'm being lightly electrified.
How much of his time is just spent in the mirror being like, smile, and then like smacking himself on the face?
Not
while
enough,
like
dude.
A single tear like runs down his frozen face.
I feel like he doesn't go to sleep. He just stands and stares in a corner. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Or like stares at his wife who's sleeping.
Oh.
And she's like, Ron, stop looking at me. He's like, I can't go to sleep.
Like, the dead eyes.
Yeah.
Such dead eyes.
He's not practicing enough because he's so bad at it. And I don't even like the idea that he's like struggling with it. I think he's not practicing how he plays.
Yeah.
As a coach.
It is weird
say.
To see him try to attempt Trump's positions or Trumpian like actions without having any of the charisma of Trump. Like, it's really weird. It's like kind of like an experimental control. Like, if you took the charm out of it, what would it be like?
This is what it would sound like. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's a fascist talking Lego man.
We'll talk about Gal Gadot's IDF screening and how that didn't go well. All of that. Plenty more. But first, Paula V, we do like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history?
Okay. This is not like a singular search, but separation anxiety and dogs. What are we doing? How do we help this? My dog ate my Kindle like 2 weeks ago. Oh,
wow.
Like, how do we, I'm looking up things as a scientist. I don't believe in just like taking random vitamins, but I will do anything for the dogs. I'm like, pheromones, sure they work. Not going to look into this. Let's buy a collar. Let's buy a diffuser. Let's get whatever the probiotics that are supposed to calm them down. I'll do anything, okay?
Well, yeah.
That's what I'm looking at.
What's the solution? I feel like the last time I thought about it, I remember being at the vet and seeing ads for medication for separation
anxiety. There are
meds. You know, I was like, whoa.
But I'm trying to, I get my parents now, my Indian parents who don't think mental health is a thing. I'm like, let's use meds as a last resort. What if you just exercise more?
Yeah.
Like,
same.
My dog.
Yeah.
I'm like mental health shaming my dog.
What is it about Asia where it's like, you soft. What you need, Zoloft? Like,
he's like desperately chewing my shoes. I'm like, let's do something else. I don't want to tell the other dog parents you're on medication.
Right.
How does your dog know, like, because separation anxiety implies that the dog is aware that separation is about to happen. Is it just like picking up on the cues from, are you like packing?
Well, yeah, I pack three suitcases every time I leave the house. it's separation anxiety for me and my things. No, it's just like once I leave, so I can like do things to make the routine of me leaving less anxiety inducing. Like I can put on my shoes and then sit down or like pick up my keys and like watch TV. And like, so he gets, you know, trained out of that. But it's once I leave, he's like chewing things, he's peeing, he's pooping.
Oh, even so if like I just once you're gone.
Yeah.
Right.
It's destructive behavior. Yeah. And he is a big boy. And so the solution is I just take him everywhere with me all the time, maybe. I don't know.
Right. that's one way to do it. But yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm trying to figure it out. We're crate training. We're figuring it out. But that is definitely what I've been searching. Yeah. I've been looking at videos. That's a whole nother pyramid scheme. That's like skincare is like dog stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It's wild. And I will buy everything.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Has anyone ever tried to be like, this is my therapy dog, but it's actually because the dog needs me to be with him at all times. So he has to like come on the plane with me because otherwise he's going to just shit the entire cargo hold of your plane, basically.
That's how I feel about dogs. I'm like, we as humanity have messed them up and now we have to deal with it. So let me bring my dog everywhere.
Right.
Okay. It's not just for me.
Yeah.
It's for other organisms. Okay.
Yeah.
It's like I remember like when my kid was first born and trying to figure out ways like how to help sleep or whatever, like just anything you're trying, like that's giving you anxiety or stress or whatever, it's truly like all logic and reason will go out the window. I'm like, I don't know, maybe this motherfucker on TikTok who has no kids will tell me what the secret is. But yeah, I get that. I get that.
You're like, maybe I need to manifest. Maybe my dog needs a vision board. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm like, I've been waving the crystals in front of my child's eyes while doing the affirmations, and it's just not working.
And you won't go to sleep with these light up crystals you're waving in front of their
I'm like, it's a Himalayan salt crystal. They said it has to be lit up. Oh, my.
Yes, yeah. I do happen to be screaming the mantras at the top of my lungs because I'm so fucking stressed out.
You wholly and completely accept yourself. You wholly and completely accept yourself. I said.
Yeah. It's, I just like to throw my type A facets of my personality at the problem, no matter what it is, you know?
We love that.
My child has anxiety? Okay. Spreadsheet time. What is something you think is overrated?
I have to go to this conference, and like, why do I have to wear a pantsuit? You know, why can't I go in? Who cares if I'm in a onesie if the science is sound? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, why do I have to? I don't want to wear. They need to. We did remote work. Everybody's chilling out. Let's not put dress codes on professional conferences. It's professional
because
we're talking about stuff, you know? And also, I gained a lot of weight and I don't want to buy a new pantsuit, you know? I just can't.
Pantsuit? What are you going to do? Or you just do the thing, you leave the tags on, use it for the one thing and then take it back.
Here's the thing is I know I'll destroy it. So like, I can't be the girl that's like, oh, I'm going to return it because I'm the girl in the sitcom that drops like red wine on everything.
Right.
I can't.
Yeah.
I can't be that person.
I fell into another thicket of bushes. Again.
Yeah.
Blueberry bramble. Why do you
it's
keep
like the
going
cloud
toward...
that rains on you, but it's just blueberry brambles only popping up around you. That is 100%. Like that is how my fashion choices were made for a long time. I was like, would I be upset if I fell
Fucked
down and just and like messed this and tore a hole in my pants? I'm buying it.
If we let go of the idea of like formal work attire in certain like contexts, I'm sure a majority of people being like we're all off this shit, right? Like, do you give a fuck?
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure, especially with like creative fields or even I'm sure in the sciences, like people like probably not as concerned with their like what their fashion is, like to your point about the science or no?
Yeah, so that is true when you're like in lab doing research. Like sometimes professors think like if they see you in the same outfit 2 days in a row, they're like, oh, they didn't go home. They worked all night. That's great. Like it's really messed up. Or like you take time as women, like when women like take time to like do their hair and makeup, people are like, why do you have time to do your hair and makeup? Like you should be working. Like it's really like misogynist and weird too.
Yeah.
So it can go too far in the opposite direction. But at conferences, you do have to like have some sort of professional attire.
It's like scientist prom.
It's like it's actually like conferences are a huge fuck fest for scientists. Like they
Makes
are
sense.
Horny as hell.
Because
like this conference, for example, it's gonna be like 30,000 to 50,000 people in neuroscience, like all at this one conference. And so it's like
wait, what was the number again? People,
it's like a small city, like 30,000 to 50,000 people.
Wow.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Where is it being held?
It's in Washington, D.C. They're
I've
at
heard
convention
of that place.
Centers.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know Washington.
But that's a lot of people to just
That's
throw
a lot of people.
City.
And then people are like horny for other scientists. And so they like see their work or like they get drunk.
It's like
at night
the Olympic Village of scientists.
Exactly. Yeah. I've said that before. I've 100% said that before, Jack.
That's amazing.
Wow.
Yeah.
All that being said, we do appreciate you, you know, following our dress code of business casual for Daily Zeitgeist recordings. Yeah.
And by business
with a fascinator, we do ask that everybody have a fascinator, some sort
a
of fancy head.
Yes, exactly. Or some manner of stolen jewelry from another faraway culture.
Exactly. what's something you think is underrated?
Okay, I am in my 30s, and I love staying with my friends in other cities. Like when I travel for comedy, I like, but I'm learning. Like my boyfriend is like, I'm almost 40. I'm getting a hotel room. And I'm like, no, let's stay with friends. We get to like wake up and have breakfast with them and like hang out with their kids. And stuff. It's like a sleepover for adults, you know?
Yeah.
I love it. I think
love
we need to.
Sleepovers, yeah.
It's community. It's, you know.
I'm kind of on the side of your boyfriend, but also I like it is fun. It's always like it feels good to be like to wake up in like a friend's place and like just kind of start there. But my whole thing is when I take a shit, I don't want to have people being like, yo, is he still taking his shit? Yeah. Or being like, yo, bro, like there's one bathroom in here. I need,
you need,
no,
better,
I need my own
friends,
bathroom.
Miles. People got to accept you for your shit.
It's not even me. It's like for me, like I need my own bathroom. You know what I mean?
No,
like,
you need friends who have a Starbucks closer friends. By their house. That's all.
So yeah. They can go to the Starbucks. I'm
yeah,
not
exactly.
going to Starbucks.
Because you're going to light that shit up. Yeah.
I need my bidet. I need my squatty,
your main your main bedroom, the bathroom off of that, if I could just borrow that for the afternoon.
Yeah, I just like,
you.
They're sleeping and I'm like using
you're, like listing all the ways you're terrible house guests.
I'm using their
ensuite.
Let me
just be disgusting in your home.
Yeah. Sorry, man. I'm just going to utterly fuck up this bathroom. And I'm sorry. But...
I invited 30 of my closest friends to have a chili contest in your home.
Hope you don't mind. I borrowed your wife's bathrobe for the bubble bath that
and these guys, they're real jokesters. We like to put Visine in each other's food and stuff. So we get, get terrible stomach problems. Whatever. Look, we're going to have a good time.
We did have friends stay with us when we were living in Santa Monica and our toilet completely like fucked up. And so we had to like keep going to the Starbucks. Like that was the only bathroom that was like working.
Oh, shit.
I've done that in someone's home before. Yeah. I have to tell you this story. It's embarrassing as hell. But I was like a kid and my family was visiting their family friends that they had known in India that they hadn't seen in like decades. And we stayed with them. And like I clogged the toilet and it literally caused house damage. Like my dad was trying to unclog it and like the seal broke and it leaked and it was like leaking through the roof. And it was so bad. It was the worst thing world.
Oh my
God. And it all came from a small child.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, at least you were a child. It wasn't like hearing your.
I was like younger. Yeah, I was young.
That's, but... I just realized, I think your story just made me realize that I had like a formative experience at a Halloween party when I was in fourth grade.
I saw your eyes go black for a second, and I was like, what is happening in the brain?
Yeah, I like warged. Yeah, I warged. Yeah.
He turned into one of the dead people from the Crossroads video. The reference but, everybody gets.
I remember it was a Halloween party for this girl, Daniela, and we was like a costume party, and this was, I'm
pretty
sure.
Daniela party will give you IBS.
Yo, Daniela, I fucked her bathroom up so bad, the toilet was clogged, I could not unclog it. And then like the games were starting, so I had to abandon my post and go out there. And then like everyone was like, something's wrong with this. The next like focal point of the party is like, something's wrong with the toilet. Like it's breaking.
No!
And I was like, oh shit, that's me. That's me. That's me. That's me.
Right.
So I think thank you. You just knocked a memory loose. You know what? I'm going to call her. I'm going to call her and work this out.
Yeah, make couples amends. Therapy, but for people whose toilets you fucked
you've
up.
You clogged, yeah, exactly.
You like reach out to her and you're expecting her to be like, Miles, what are you talking about? That's no problem. And she's like, Miles, you can't unfuck up that toilet, okay?
Yeah. She's like, you know, my parents had to move from that house, right?
They got a divorce. It was too traumatic.
And she's like, also, why are you bringing this up? Like, we've been friends since then. I'm like, sorry.
No, but I'm sorry. Amazing. Well, yeah, but to your point, adult sleepovers wonderful can be truly wonderful. You really, it's just like, I don't know. It's a every hotel is like fairly similar. Whereas, you get a completely unique. It's like that part in The Rehearsal, the Nathan Fielder show, where he like goes to that house. He's like, everything here is like so perfect. You couldn't like recreate this with the greatest work of art. And he's just like looking at the way they like. Leave their shit around, you know? And it's just like, that's the most beautiful work of art sometimes. It's like the most authentically humane, like, human thing.
Seeing how people live or like raise their kids or play with their dog. Like, it's just like being in their life, I feel like, is more like intimate than like going out to a restaurant and meeting up and all of the conversation winding down at the predicted amount of time.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
It's fun.
It's wild because on the other side of the coin, I love having people stay with me.
Yeah.
Like I love it. Because then I get to like, you know, my love languages come out. Like I'm all about acts of service and shit like that. So I start cooking and doing those kinds of things. And so like when you experience that on the other side too, that's also a nice way to like kind of remember like that you have a bond with people too. So and you're not gonna get that at the hotel buffet.
Right. And I do, when I go to their house, I do order room service and demand it be served to me.
Yeah. You're like, there's not even a menu. What do you mean?
I'm just dropping towels outside the bedroom doors.
Yeah.
Sorry, where's the comment box?
Yeah.
Where do I leave some feedback?
You left a post-it note on your door last night before you went to sleep that said 2 eggs Benedict and espresso. what was that? That's what I'll have in the morning.
Yeah. And we're going to be sleeping in. So if you could just like kind of bring it in quietly.
Yeah, but hushed. But bring it in. Like, I don't want it to be cold. So like, let me know it's there, but don't fucking wake me up.
They start getting into it. They're like, where's my tip?
They give me a bill. I'm like, damn, fucking $47. The fuck is this? They're like, well, there's a service fee. It's 30%.
All right, let's take a quick break and mm-hmm. we'll come back and talk about the GOP debate.
Ooh.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together. We'll cry together and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old. Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
And we're back.
My God.
My God.
Oh, my God. The GOP debate Wednesday night was a fucking fever dream of hawkish takes and violent fantasies. I will just start off by saying nothing of substance was really said. The only thing that I was like, oh, that's different, was when Nikki Haley realized that being anti-choice is a political loser. So she basically softened her stance up on the stage and was like, look, some people are going to be pro-choice and that's okay. And some are pro-life. But in some states, the people have decided. And, you know, I don't know if we should keep dividing the country. Yeah. I was like, oh, shit. Okay. Look at somebody knows how to look at numbers and say that doesn't work. But it's a low bar for the GOP.
Yeah.
She's working a crowd too well. She did well at the last debate too. And I'm like, don't be fooled.
Oh yeah. Well, now I'd say everyone now is like, it's the I feel like the consensus take is now starting to be that Nikki Haley is the closest one to getting at Trump. But
which as an Indian, I just love that Nikki Haley, probably like Nikita Alirandasam or something. I don't know what her last name would be.
No, her name is Nimarada. I think
Nimarada.
Yeah.
No, it's not even a K.
No.
What is her name?
It's Nimarada Randhawa is her like, I think, pre-marriage name.
I'm only referring to her as that from now on. Okay. Nimrata.
Yeah.
Nimrata. Okay. Miss Nimrata Haley Randhawa. Okay. Miss Randhawa. She and between her and Vivek, like, wow, the representation we get is terrible. And I'm really upset about it. But you know what? We're out there. We're at the forefront. We're attempting to be white adjacent. Yeah. Good for us. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, good for us throwing our own people under the bus. Good for us for throwing poor people under the bus. Women, other people of color, marginalized voices. As long as ours are heard, you know? Yeah.
As long as I'm protected.
Yeah.
As long as, I'm protected. Wow. You just get secondhand embarrassment. You're like, this is not what our people are supposed to do.
I know.
When you're watching. Just like, also the fact that they're in debate and that so many of my brown friends were in debate club, that also hurts, you know?
Right.
painful.
It's all coming together.
She does seem to be the best at it. She's pretty good at debate and landing. He seems like he's like too good at debate and like everybody just like ran out of.
Like, who, Ramaswamy?
Ramaswamy was just
like,
likes
debating.
No, he just seems like a narcissist who just keeps talking. Like, it's not really clever because people...
It's not clever, for sure.
He'll contradict himself in a thing and someone will point it out and he's like, yeah, but that's not the point. And it's like, okay, just steamroll. First,
fake nerd.
One of the first, before we get into outright hawkish policy, let's talk about domestic policy. Ron DeSantis was saying that, well, I guess this is foreign policy because he's promising to shoot people dead if they're drug dealers.
We're going to authorize the use of deadly force. We're going to have maritime operations to interdict precursor chemicals going into Mexico. But I'll tell you this, if someone in the drug cartels is sneaking fentanyl across the border when I'm present, that's going to be the last thing they do. We're going to shoot them stone cold dead.
All right.
Wow.
That freeze frame at the end. He does like
head tick. Yeah.
His energy is class, like teacher's pet. Saying, I know you are, but what am I? After like somebody called them an ass kisser. Like he's just like, is that what you think? Well,
we'll shoot you dead.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
I want to say Stone Cold Steve Austin did not approve that message. Okay. he's not into shooting people stone cold dead.
That was his move, right?
Yeah, just shooting people
in the face. People you got the Stone Cold Stunner and then the Stone Cold Shoot You Dead.
That's wild that he was like, we'll just shoot you. Like,
yeah.
Like, what have we become? What is going on?
Yeah. This is an official.
But what have we become?
This garners an official Miles Gray. Oh, so you're a tough guy, huh?
Exactly. I'm like, you're a tough guy, Ron. Okay, let me holler at you over here. Hey, let me give you a shoulder rub. Get your fucking ass over here. You're tense, homie. You're tense. Let me get your shoulder. Such a weird way to end up putting someone to sleep. Anyway, so, but again,
his eyes, like, just everybody needs to go watch this clip just because.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Check out the footnotes.
Subtly. Just off, like just charisma allergic, dead eyed. I was covering up his mouth while I was watching that one, just like see, and his eyes don't change at all. Like the whole time, he's just dead behind the eyes, regurgitating something you know he doesn't believe in, or that he's like maybe he believes in it, but he's like rehearsed it too many times. So, like,
project strength.
Yes.
It really does feel like that a lot of these debates, depending on when they are, they're trying to get the like better ratings than like the genocide that's happening right now.
Right,
you know what I mean? Yeah. Like they're trying to just be like more bloodthirsty and more violent than that because they think that views matter.
Yeah.
Because they think that's why people care about the other issues. And it's like, no, it's like people care because people are dying,
yeah,
not right. because of like wanting to picture violent threats. Like, that's not the point.
Yeah, but that's completely the assignment that they believed that they received, because this whole thing, like, this basically is just an audition, right, to see who could out-Trump Trump. And all the candidates just basically took that as a challenge to say, like, who can say the most vile, unhinged shit? So another thing, Ron DeSantis, I'll stay on Ron DeSantis, because they started getting on the topic of anti-Semitism. And I use scare quotes there because they're talking about it in the context of like students being at rallies calling for ceasefires and things like that.
Yeah.
DeSantis did his best to conflate being anti-genocide with. You already know this playbook, but here's Ron DeSantis being like, you know what? If you want to talk that mess and you're a foreigner, here he goes.
I was the first presidential candidate to say, if you are here on a student visa as a foreign national, you're making common cause with Hamas, I'm canceling your visa and I'm sending you home. No questions asked.
What does that even mean? That is so
vague.
He's
like, we want this country to stay a dumbass country.
Yeah,
right. We don't want any students to feel protected here.
Yeah,
right.
We want to send you back to another country.
Oh, you're trying to make this place a world a more humane place? Well, right. Off you go. This is not the school for you.
And also just like such a specific lane that he's trying, or like specific like thing he's trying to stand on, is like, I was the first presidential candidate to call for, if somebody is here on a student visa,
right,
and specifically says the following five words in this order, we right. need to file a reverse visa on, you know, like, it's just like, okay, man, like, yeah, you're really nailing it. This is the turning point for your campaign.
Fun fact about Ron DeSantis, he was the first presidential candidate. Ever.
That's
in
right.
all of history.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I'm the first presidential candidate to really act dumb about my involvement in interrogations at Guantanamo Bay. There's also right. that, too. But hey, yeah. look, Ron,
I'm
you got
the first
a lot
presidential,
of stuff. Yeah.
I'm the first presidential candidate to put a hit out on Mickey Mouse. That's
So then, because this has kind of been like the mainstream conservative take, which is like, dude, if there's students here on this like ceasefire shit, they're out of here. That's just what it is. Tim Scott also tried to kind of hit that point too, but he probably actually did it more eloquently than even Ron DeSantis did.
Yeah, here's
Ron,
beautifully put.
Here's Tim Scott also saying the same thing about students who are being, you know, the human.
I'm really sticking the landing.
Because even then, there was a rise of anti-Semitism on college campuses. We must force the people off those campuses, and
Senator
frankly,
Scott, thank you.
Out of our country.
Let me turn to the governor.
Huh? Out of our country.
Oh my gosh, his fake girlfriend won't let him finish, and neither will the debate.
Yo, did you know the girlfriend was real?
The girlfriend's
okay,
real.
But how much was she paid? How
I know.
Much was she? I saw
I know,
that picture.
I know. I was like, it looks like you.
His Canadian well,
like
girlfriend.
AI, yeah, AI
Have
generated.
Have we talked about that yet on the show? That Tim Scott is like, he for a long time he was an avowed virgin, and then
virgin.
Now he's like, I actually am not, but like that's none of your business. And
oh my gosh, the Jonas Brothers betrayal, but by Tim Scott.
Yeah,
what?
Exactly.
And then
no.
he's like, I have a girlfriend, but you probably don't know her, so it's
she
like,
doesn't
no
go
video.
Here.
She doesn't go here, but she's like really cool.
She's like really popular.
But I did
okay,
not know that he had like revealed a picture.
Yeah, it was it was like this week, right?
Yeah,
huge
yeah.
True.
He was holding a blonde woman's hand, which I think was them doing, I guess that's a hard launch, soft, whatever. It's something. It's a gig for her, for sure. So I'm not going to knock her hustle.
I will say, for the point of go back to where you came from all of these Republican candidates, are you telling like Jacob from Brooklyn, who is settling in Israel, to go back to where he came from?
Right.
Is that what's happening? If everybody's going back to where they came from,
yeah,
we got to be consistent.
Don't ask such a ridiculous question. We see the direction this is all going in. No, it's just anyone who is speaking out against, imperialism and the U.S.'s continued role in horrific acts around the globe. But we can't have people like that talking that spice over here.
And we then, can't have anybody talking spice. That's why they want to send all the Indians back.
The only spice the we will people. Allow is mayonnaise.
Speaking of which, Nikki and Vivek, they had some of the wildest things to say when it came to what is happening in Gaza right now.
Nikki Haley, for valedictorian of worst person ever.
Nikki Haley, this is her about her. She had a moment to speak with Benjamin Netanyahu, and this is what she said was happening.
Ambassador Haley, what would you do? What would you be urging Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to do? Would you consider a humanitarian pause, for example?
The first thing I said to him when it happened was I said, finish them. Finish them. And the reason is I worked on this every day when I was at the United States.
Holy shit, dude. This ain't Mortal Kombat, Nikki Haley.
I know.
Fuck, man.
The fuck is finish them?
This is fucking disgusting. I'm sorry. Like, this is... It's my obscene. Whole feed is dead children. And, like, these people are just using it for material. It's the worst in humanity.
It's honestly... And, like, to say something like, that is completely disconnected from the reality of, like, the death toll of innocent people. It's like, finish them. All of it just... Fuck it over. Who cares? Yeah. These aren't people. Like, it's so apparent in their words. It's really unnerving to see this happen. Like, every day we're hearing this from politicians. Ramaswamy also had a thing, but he was also using this opportunity to come at the Canadian. Well, first he said he wanted to build a wall in Canada, but then he turned this into a sort of like anti, like anyone south of the border type take.
I would tell him to smoke those terrorists on his southern border, and then I'll tell him, as president of the United States, I'll be smoking the terrorists on our southern border. That's his responsibility. This is our responsibility. That's how we move forward. But I wanted.
Wow. He was waiting he was waiting for the crowd to come in and cheer for that, and he was getting nothing.
It was that stand-up cadence where you're like, da 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 da.
Yeah.
Hold
for applause.
Da 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 da. Like, tries again. Like, oh, and I'm gonna keep going. And that wasn't a clap line. That wasn't meant to be a dismount where you guys all cheered and carried me off stage on your shoulders. That was just normal. This is normally how people.
Also, Vivek, another disagreement that he has with his doctor wife. First it was the vaccines, now it's smoking. You shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah, right.
Okay, exactly. That's bad for your health.
Does she know about this? Yeah, so that was just kind of the tone of the entire night. And then you're just left with, like, it's funny when they did, like, I think on CNN, they've had like the same group of voters in Iowa where they've been asking every debate, like, okay, who won this? Like, what side are you on? And like Nikki Haley, they were like, yeah, I think her. Like, a majority of that group thought Nikki Haley won. But at the end of the day, I don't know how that's going to happen, because it seems at the end of the day, it's just all Trump.
They also argued about TikTok, right? And he was like, your daughter uses TikTok. And she's like, keep my motherfucking daughter's name out of your motherfucking mouth.
No,
she called him scum.
Yeah, she was pressed, because you could tell she was pressed, because she didn't even get the saying, keep their name out of your mouth. She said, keep my daughter's name out of your voice.
And then she was like, she did say that?
Yeah, she said, out of your voice. And then she was like, you're just scum.
Wait,
like,
she quoted Will Smith before he smacked Chris Rock? That's actually wild.
Him and Netanyahu is who she draws inspiration from, actually.
Yeah.
What a weird,
combination of people.
That Venn diagram.
It's very strange.
Yeah, it's Nikki Haley. But he had that kind of like one of those moments too, where he was like confused. Like, how come other people get to say stuff, but I can't? It's like, no one likes you, dude. It's like those kids, like, I'm sure this happens with comedians where like they try and be edgy or like make jokes that just don't sound right coming from them. And they're like, well, that dude does joke that does material like that. Like, I don't see the difference. Like, you have a completely different energy, and you're just, you don't, it doesn't work because
you're
who you
racist,
are.
Bro.
Yeah.
you can't say that because you're racist, dude.
Okay, but the black comedian could talk about it.
Like, so he uses the N-word and I can't use the N-word.
I'm sorry, are we for real right now? Oh, okay. I didn't know. Okay,
wow,
I guess I'll.
Wow, talk about equal rights. Jeez.
Oh my God, that's exactly what the fuck someone like that would say. Oh, right, but we're all equal, right? Okay, all right.
Okay,
all right.
No,
all right, well, my flight to Austin is about to board, so I gotta go.
Going up on Rogan's Club tonight.
Yeah, exactly.
How did you know?
All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us. Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often those of us who don't fit into this dumb stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together. We'll cry together and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back.
We're back.
And as we mentioned yesterday on, I think yesterday's trending, it was announced that Gal Gadot had organized a screening of Bearing Witness, which is a 47-minute compilation of Hamas violence filmed on October 7th, basically a snuff film designed to, you know, enrage people and get them to stop criticizing Israel, it feels like.
Yeah.
The families of the victims who, you know, the people who are killed in the videos are like, please fucking stop this. But they don't. Like, that's not what this is about. They're not here to honor the lives lost. They're here to promote the slaughter in Gaza, essentially, feels like what this is about.
Yeah. There's also, it's just wild that, like, you know, most people can just hear about things that are happening without having to see graphic depictions and know where they end up with things. Like, I can read about what's happening and say, oh, that's awful. But it's like, but do you know how bad it is? You need to watch this. It feels, again, because it feels like the tide, or at least a lot of sentiment, is like now people are just seeing indiscriminate bombing, watching a bunch of displaced people, children, whoever, human beings. And it's like, okay, we need to deploy some kind of shocking piece of media to try and like rebalance the scales. And it just feels so fucking cynical to cheapen like the deaths of these people who died on October 7th, to use that in service to justify more death is so obscene that Yeah.
And a lot of the people, like some of the people that like the next day or like right after who had family members who died were on tape, like saying like, don't use this as an excuse to indiscriminately bomb, and the family members don't stand by it. So it's just like incredibly disgusting that they, because the kibbutz was like a very like peaceful commune type place, right? And a lot of those, some of the hostages were like peace activists who were interested in peace with between Israel and Palestine, and were actually like helping like victims of the Israeli occupation. So like those people obviously don't want that to be the result of what happened to them. So it's just disgusting.
Yeah.
And also like doubt, like that, it just like gives me the idea of like how much of a bubble they are in, like these celebrities are in at the same time that they're not, right? Like they're getting the prompt to do propaganda and promote propaganda from somewhere. But simultaneously, they like don't understand like that the tides are changing and that there's 500,000 people out in England like protesting. You know what I mean? There's people, hundreds of thousands of people all the world over the world who can see what's happening. And so like putting up these images of bodies is not going to take away the images of the other children dying in Gaza. You know, like it's gross.
Yeah.
I will say one more lighthearted thing that I saw with regards to this is that the Ana de Armas updates Twitter posted that Academy Award nominee and movie star Ana de Armas has unfollowed a former IDF soldier and attempted actress Gal Gadot on Instagram. And everybody was like, attempted actress.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, like to your point about people demonstrating, for people who are old enough, we saw this pattern play out on 9/11. 9/11 was used as justification to kill countless people and destroy an entire part of the earth. And a lot of people are old enough or have the wherewithal or hindsight to say, holy shit. Like, we just got fucking swept up in all that. And look what the fuck happened. And I think a lot of people are old enough to say, can't do that shit again. Because that was fucking terrible. And it not only caused a bunch of terrible things in the United States with Islamophobia and racism, but also the innocent people that were losing their lives in Iraq, Afghanistan, etc. And so it's really weird when you see like the government try and use this same playbook. And then they're shocked when people are like, yo, like that is tragic. What happened is tragic. Absolutely. But we are not going to use this as a springboard to take just numerous more lives. Like that's just not happening. So there's also like this weird, you're like seeing it like with politicians where like they don't even know what to do. They're like, what the fuck? This usually like works. Like if I just say stuff like, we're gonna get them, we're gonna smoke them, people are like, yeah, man. But a lot of people have enough awareness around this and education and perspective to know like this is absolutely not the way to go about things. But yeah, here we are doing this, like trying to run the exact same playbook.
Yeah.
I think also social media is like a huge factor too, because back then, like we heard the numbers, but it wasn't like made real by images, which is what they're trying to do with this movie. But it's like, it's too late. Like we already know the fallout from it. We already know like the cost and that it's not worth it and that it's unjustified and horrific.
Yeah. Right. But yeah, this is it all like I remember, too, there was a lot of talk, too, about people saying like you should like people should protest in front of it. And then people like you absolutely should not. It's like a trap to try and paint like allies as like anti-Semitic. And then that kind of took a lot of like that. I think there were less people outside. But then even then there were demonstrators on both sides. And that also led to like just scuffles and shit. People are getting pepper sprayed by the cops and all like we're slowly seeing how much this is tearing people apart just because we can't even get to the part where we're like, we're on the same page to be like, yeah, let's stop the momentum. Just
don't want people to die.
Yeah. Can we stop that? But the best people are saying is like, how about pause? How about a pause? Just pause, then resume.
A lot of people that I know who were very outspoken about and rightfully so about the tragedy on October 7th have just gone quiet.
Yeah.
And it's just like horrific to think about it, you know, like that the tens of thousands of people that have died since then, they just are like, well, I'm just going to go do my stand up shows and deal with that and like not talk about anything else.
because it's so difficult to see. And I mean, like I've said this in other episodes, doesn't matter if you're Arab or Muslim or Jewish, whatever, like you can see this and have it just shake you to your core and remind you of, if you come from a marginalized group, how cheap your life is to the from the perspective of imperialism.
Yeah.
And that's the also
default, like, mainstream narrative.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's can bring up a lot of terrible feelings, trauma for people that just in so many capacities. And that's why it's reverberating in a way that it is.
Yeah.
And it's so fucked up to hear people just say, like, try and reduce that feeling of empathy to, oh, you're pro murder of these people who died on October 7th. And that is so, it's so infuriating, because to try and like fuck someone's head, like that, to say that, like, because they are seeing or understanding what this situation is and opposed to it makes them X, Y, or Z. It's just this like cycle that's like never ending. And I think we always see this when there are moments like this where the topic of oppression comes up and people, you know, some people figure it out, some people learn, educate themselves, and other kind of their default is like, oh no, I'm always on the oppressor's side.
Right.
Like that's just that's my thing too.
It's also like not like something we haven't heard before. We haven't been like the global South, all of these marginalized groups. It's not like we haven't been called savages before or barbarians or animals.
Right.
We're used to that. We just don't give a fuck. Like I don't know. It's horrific to look at. I think that's like what you said. It really hit a chord with groups that have been colonized and have had to deal with imperialistic forces just completely ruining families and culture and, you know, just taking hold in places they shouldn't be. So I do think that people see themselves in Palestinians and they are tired of it.
Right. Yeah. But to see the entire like machinery of American imperialism just go into action to protect like what's happening is like it's also like really disheartening too, because you're like, holy shit, man, like
so much bigger.
Yeah, you can see just how much capital, like literal capital, is even behind it too, and we're just brushed aside for asking people to acknowledge the humanity of innocent people.
If this doesn't radicalize you, I don't know what will. Like, this is like seeing the USA stamps on those bombs and like knowing that some of the things that were used in Ferguson were made in Israel. Like, how does that not completely shatter your perception of these as like justified?
Yeah. And I mean, I see a lot of people too, rather than like a lot of people just don't want to engage with it at all. And probably for the fear of like what will happen to their worldview. They're like, it was much more comfortable when I could just be like, there's like a part of the world where things are kind of like bad, but like things will always be bad. So I just want to like keep my focus here and not really think about anything like that. And it's sad because, you know, with the way our world is evolving or devolving, like with climate change and things like that, there will come a time, maybe it might not be in our lifetime, where there is going to be a need to acknowledge the humanity of other people and to move from that position, rather than being like, well, who's this person? Are they expendable? Is this just the tragedy of war or whatever the fuck people want to say to excuse it?
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. I think it's happening more and more. Like, I think it is going to be in our lifetime. I think it's already happening in our lifetime.
I mean, it is. And we're also turning a blind eye to people who are displaced by climate change also. But like, And we also see it in the form of like how we look at immigration. We're like, I don't know why they don't stay there, just because we completely destabilized that place fucking 40 years ago.
Yeah.
I don't know what their problem is. It's like there's a lack of acknowledgement of how all of this is interconnected solely because, you know, people want to, or at least, you know, a lot of people want to absolve themselves of feeling that they have anything to do with it, or that.
And that's why I will smoke them on our southern border. And moreover, why is nobody cheering for that?
I said smoke them.
Also, smoking is fun. Wow, fuck. What do I say?
But the tobacco lobbyists are like, yeah, keep going.
Yeah, keep going.
You got this. You got this. You got it.
Well, Pallavi, such a pleasure having you on the show, as always. Where can people find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
I'm at Pallaviganalan, PallaviGunalan, on everything. So go to all of the things. Find me there. Yeah, I'm performing all over. I'm doing a lot more stand-up, guys. I'm trying to get everywhere. So
yeah.
If you join my mailing list, which is on my link tree, which is everywhere, then I can plan for shows in your cities and be able to come to where you are. So get on there.
Amazing. And is there a work of media that you've been enjoying?
Okay, do you guys know Matt Lieb?
Yeah, of course. We know Matt Lieb.
One of our favorites.
I love Matt Lieb. Yeah. He's been doing very funny videos, which I think are important. I do think it's important during this time to recognize that Jewish allies are some of the most outspoken at the forefront of being anti-Zionist, anti what Israel is doing. And I think he makes very funny videos that kind of are from the perspective of, like, his character is someone who is like a pro-Israel person, but it's very like self-effacing.
Yeah,
and makes
very
fun
fragile.
Of, yeah. And so he has like a video about how to criticize Israel correctly. And it's basically like there's nothing you can do to do it. But yeah, it's really fun. I don't know if you want to play that. I just sent it in the chat.
I, an American Jew, am going to tell you how to correctly criticize Israel without being accused of anti-Semitism. Here are some don'ts. Do not overstate your case. Don't go throwing around the word apartheid state. Apartheid only ever happened in South Africa, and you can't use that word again. You can't just keep using words. Call it something that is correct, like a kerfuffle. You know, just be like, oh, that's all right. Kerfuffle, they go, they. Do not mention the Palestinians or the occupation, okay? If you want to talk about problems in Israel, talk about how there's a lot of stray cats and how the traffic's really bad. Do not throw around the word genocide. You guys just throw it around like it's just nothing. Do not support a one-state solution. If there was a one-state solution, Israelis might lose their demographic majority, and that is literally genocide. Do not support a two-state solution. Do not support a solution. What, you think you got all the answers? You're so smart.
Yeah, he's been posting regularly. Yeah,
but that was the first one that caught my eye. I thought it was really funny.
So yeah, do you see the other one? He was like talking about like allyship, and he's like, he's like, and for black people, like, you got to know, like, we've been with you. Like, my grandfather's friend marched with civil rights activists in the 60s. Just like, it's interesting too, because like it's sort of like an almost answer to like the kind of stuff Brett Gelman has been like posting.
Yes. You know? Yeah. It's like it hits all of the talking points of like self-victimizing people that you feel like you are unable to address if you're not like Jewish, you know? So he eviscerates them like each one of those points.
Oh no. Brett Gelman has been posting like wild.
Oh, Jack.
Oh no.
Oh, Jack. You don't know Jack?
Jack,
no, no.
He makes Jack, Amy Schumer insane. Look like a peace activist.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
His stuff is wild.
It's
unhinged.
It's not even of this reality. It's really
He's
strange.
Like singing weird stuff. It's strange. It's definitely like I hadn't heard the progressive until Palestine phrasing, and then I can apply it to so many people now. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Right. That's the last, like, hey, I took the train in 2020 with you guys, but gonna get off here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Been great knowing you. Thanks. Yeah.
It's wild. But Matt Lieb's hilarious. So yeah.
Shout out to Matt Lieb. Miles, where can people find you? What's working media you've been enjoying?
Find me on the Twitter. Find me on the Instagram.
Oh shit,
find
on the Twitter?
On the Twitter. Wow. On the Threads.
You mean on the X?
Hell no. No, we don't. Hell no.
We do not.
In this house, we believe that Twitter will always be called Twitter.
It is Twitter.
Yeah. And then, yeah, at Miles of Gray, find Jack and I on our basketball podcast. Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties. You can find me on a very not political show, 90 Day Fiancé-centric podcast I do called 420 Day Fiancé with Sophia Alexandra. It's a good time. A tweet that I like is from John Gutierrez, who at DasGoot1, but he's tweeting, he's like, I don't know who made this video. He said, I don't know who made this, but I can't stop myself from sharing it. And it's about the WGA SAG after strike. I'm just going to play it for you because It's like mashing up stuff from Starship Troopers about like, I did my part. And it's like writers, actors, and then crew. And then it gets to the directors. And then you'll kind of understand what the bit is here.
I'm doing my part.
I'm doing my part.
I'm doing my part.
I didn't do fucking shit.
Director.
Directors, I didn't do fucking shit. they were in a weird spot, weren't they?
Hey, you know, it was weird times.
I didn't do fucking...
That was made by Steven Martini, apparently.
Yeah, right.
You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. Tweet I've been enjoying from former guest Caleb Simon at Dumb Aww. Caleb tweeted a picture of Jeff Foxworthy with the caption, SAG-AFTRA, well, everything sags after a 50.
I liked that one.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Also, come on. Shout out to everyone on Twitter who still knows Jeff Foxworthy. It makes me feel less old.
Strong brand.
Yeah.
You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes.
No.
Where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy, Miles. You got great taste in music, Miles. I'm gonna come out and say the damn thing. You got great taste in music. And I want to ask you, on behalf of our listeners, is there a song that you think they might enjoy?
I think, look, there's a new artist I've never heard of. I think it's like the only track I could find of theirs, called Nongoma, N-O-N-G-O-M-A. And the track is called Iskathi. And I know, look, you're going to have to spell this, I-S-K-H-A-T-H-I. And it has very like kind of DIY bedroom Afro beats kind of vibes. It's like dope. I don't know. It's like, I just like this aesthetic. And if you like... kind of Fela Kuti or Afro beats, like current stuff, you'll probably like this, but it's got like this indie sort of feeling to it that I haven't quite heard in this genre. So it's really dope. So check this track out. It's called Iskathi by Nongoma.
All right. We will link off to that in the footnotes. Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, but the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, wherever you find your shows. That is going to do it for us this week.
Yeah.
Another one in the books.
Detroit, 312 we're coming for
in
you.
The books. Detroit coming for your ass next week. Season 313. Ho, Miles. They don't even know what's about to hit them, do they?
They don't.
Season 313. Holy
Buckle
shit.
Up. Yeah, get your
Buckle
gloves
up,
on.
Buttercup. To quote the
that Elon
person
Musk
at the front,
fucking thing.
Oh, I was going to say the person at the front desk of the Moxie Hotel.
Oh, yeah.
Buckle up, Buttercup. Uh-huh. Fuck you. You
Can
need
this
my
have my
help?
Room key? Eat shit, Wastoid. Here's your coupon for your free cocktail. What?
Eat shit, Wastoid. That's going to do it for us. Back next week with... What if I just went?
313. Yeah, we know, Jack.
Back next week. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to y'all then. Bye.
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 Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.